Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 384, is Gahana, which means who is very deep, inscrutable. This is similar to several names in Vishnu Sahasranam, so I won't describe the full depths of the name of he who is deep. Who can describe the full depth of one who is so deep? I'll cover some of the topics. This name is similar to the names that come up. Gabhir, Guha, which is the next name, the very next name in Vishnu Sahasranam. Guhya, Gupta. And one reason why he is difficult to understand is because, as well as being difficult to understand, he's also Gyanagamyaha, we have in Bhagavad Gita. He is possible, or he is to be understood, through knowledge. So it's a facet of him that all contradictions are in him. We'll get back to that later. The word gahana comes up in Bhagavad Gita. Gahana karamano gatihi. The process of karma and how it works, how our actions translate into reactions. Krishna says it's very deep and difficult to understand. The commentators have given various insights on this name, and we can discuss following the commentators. He is Bhagavan Narayana, is fully majestic, dignified, respectable. He's way, 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 way up above us. How can the subject know the king? It's impertinent to even think about who he is, his personal affairs. He should be respected as the king. Of course, nowadays it's a major topic of discussion among people who are interested in such things, and there seem to be many of them, what the head of state is doing, what he likes to do, the latest things he's said, the royal family in Britain is never-ending topic of discussion in newspapers, gives them something to write about and sell their newspapers. But actually, the king should be respected. One facet of respect for the king is that you don't delve into all his personal affairs and everything he says and does. He's to be respected as the king, and our position is very low below him. And what to speak of this supreme personality of Godhead, who is the king of all kings. Now, of course, one very wonderful facet of Vishnu Bhagavan is that despite being so great and so much above him, he does make himself personally available to every one of us. But at the same time, it should be remembered that he is always above us, and even though he is kind enough to extend himself to us, we should always remember his majesty and dignity. That's especially in approaching him in all forms, except Krishna, and especially Krishna in Vrindavan. He's very deep, inscrutable. He is beyond our intellect and reasoning. He's everywhere. He's inside us. He knows our heart. He's outside us. And yet, even though he's everywhere as the supreme person, but we don't know him. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad states, Prithivyas tishtam yam prithvi naveda. He's in the earth or on the earth, but the earth doesn't know him. So similarly, he pervades every part of our being, but we don't know him. In the prayers of the personified Vedas in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the statement, Kaihu nuveda batavara janmalaya grasaram yata udagad rishi yam anudeva gana ubhaye tarhi nasanna cha sad ubhayang na cha kala javaha kimapi na tatra shastram avakrsha shayita yada. Everyone in this world has been born recently. Even Brahma, what to speak of us who see, I'm considered old now because I'm in my late 60s, but that's recently, very recently in the history of the world. So everyone in this world has recently been born and will soon die. So how can all of us in this situation know him who existed prior to everything else and who gave birth to the great learned Adi Kavi, the first learned sage Brahma, and all the subsequent demigods in their different grades? How can the child know the father? Well, yes, to some, you can understand the father from the time you were born and had enough awareness. But what was he doing before that? It's something like, how can a bug who lives for maybe 24 hours, how can he know a human? Because the human's whole existence is so much longer and greater than that of a bug. So the difference between a bug and a human is vast, and the difference between ourselves, any jiva, and the Supreme Lord is so vast. Continuing this translation of this Bhagavatam verse, when he lies down and withdraws everything within himself, nothing else remains, no gross or subtle matter or bodies composed of these, no force of time or revealed scripture. So it's just giving some facets of how great he is. It's hard to understand in our puffed up materialistic consciousness how small we are, how insignificant we are. But when we can begin to realize how small and insignificant we are, then by his grace, we can begin to understand how great and how important is he. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Nahang prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yang na bijanati loko mam ajamavyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and inexhaustible. In the words of Lord Brahma, Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti vyat prabhadasimya vinchintya tatve govindamadipursham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the gyanis who search out the undifferentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands and millions of years. Such effort they take to try to understand him. Well, one reason they don't understand him is because they don't have a proper concept of who he is or how to approach him. So therefore he remains for them Gahana, very hard to understand. It's very hard to understand something if you don't know what you're looking for. There are so many examples in the history of scientific discovery. Someone is trying to understand how the benzene molecule forms. They had no idea. They couldn't imagine that it could be hexagonal. And all of a sudden, Gahana, who is living in the heart, the Lord living in the heart of the scientist, gives them the understanding, because he couldn't begin to understand how there could be such formation of a molecule, because it was not known to humanity at the time. So it's something like that. He is so different to us, in such a different dimension of understanding, that we can't even begin to understand him unless he, by his mercy, reveals himself to us, which he does through the Vedic literature, through the devotees. Elsewhere, Srimad Bhagavatam states, Veda Guhyani Hritpate, the Lord of the heart hides himself deep within the confidential recesses of the Vedic sound. He's there in the Vedic sound. But even though he's the Lord of the heart who wants to reveal his heart to us, but he hides himself within the Vedic sound because he doesn't make himself easily available to those who do not love him. Vedeshu durlabham or durlabham atma bhakto. Taittiriya Upanishad states, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. The Supreme is he who is that entity who exists where words cannot enter. Words, they just don't go there. They stop. Words stop before understanding of him comes, where the mind cannot reach. The Isho Panishad says, Anejad ekang manaso javiyo naitad deva apnuvan purvam arshat. Although he's fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is more swift than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. So he's very deep, inscrutable, difficult to understand because he is achintya. He's inconceivable. There are seeming contradictions. It's hard for us to understand because our ability to try to understand is limited within our experience and our intellectual framework. We can't understand how he can be fixed in his abode. He's in one place, but he's more swift than the mind. There are so many seeming contradictions in him. Kathopanishad states, Tam durdarsham gurhaman upavishtam guhahitam gahvareshtam puranam. Here we have the word guha. The next name is Guha, which is very similar. Shankaracharya points out that he is unknowable in regard to his nature, his abilities, his activities. The impersonalist might take it to be totally unknowable. And yeah, in one sense that's true, but at the same time the devotees relish hearing about his inscrutable acts. Why would the Supreme Lord, the very symbol of Dharma, for instance, steal the clothes of the gopis? Why would, among all the killing of the demons, he first of all kill a woman? How can he, as a child, lift a hill and hold it for 7 days on the tip of his small finger? How can he, the Supreme, be tied up by Yashoda? We can't understand him through our logic, our rational abilities. What happened in the Abrahamic religions, that means Judaism and Christianity and Islam, in their scriptures, there's not much philosophy or understanding or description about the nature of God. So they've speculated to try to fill in the gaps. The Vedic knowledge gives actual knowledge of God. But even then, to understand him, one has to be initiated into a proper sampradaya, study, learn, lead a pure life, do sadhana. Still, in many respects, he'll remain gahana, inscrutable. Even at the highest level of Krishna Leela, the devotees who are the closest to him, how can we come so close to him? Through love, but still they don't know him. And that makes everything very sweet. He's unpredictable. Now we're going through the whole Vishnu Sahasranam to better know him. And by the name Gahana, as by other names, we're told that we can't know him. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani chabhutani mangtu vedana kaschana. I know everything, past, present, and future, but me no one knows. We may think that, well, if I become very knowledgeable, if I become very intelligent by some tremendous punya, I can become a big Vedic pandit, then I can understand him. But the greatest of all knowledgeable, learned, intelligent Vedic pandits is Lord Brahma. And he thought he understood the Lord. But then later, he said to Krishna, Jananta eva janantu king bahutya name prabho manaso vapasho vacho vaibhavang tavago charaha. Others, Lord Brahma said, may say, yes, I know Krishna. Let them say that. What shall I say in great detail about you, my dear Lord, by my mind, by my body, by my words? All your mind and your body and your words and all your glories, I can't understand. It's hard to understand him. It's not impossible. He can be known through Shastra. Vedaisya sarvera hameva vedyaha. Veda means knowledge, and all the Vedas are meant for a certain understanding. What is that understanding? Krishna says, it's me. But again, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. He's difficult to find in the Vedas if we don't follow the proper process of going through his devotees, for whom he's not difficult to find or understand. So the only way to understand him is through devotion. Bhakta Mama Bijanati. Therefore, Lord Brahma, in the very beginning of his prayers to Krishna, after stealing the cows and the cowherd boys and then realizing, oh dear, I made a big mistake, he establishes in the beginning of his prayers, Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadhiya varatam stane stita shrutigatang tanuvang manobhi ye prayaso jicha jitopyasi taistrilo gyam. Those persons who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions in Varnashram, discard the process of speculative knowledge, and with their body, mind, and words offer all respects to the descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you, Krishna, personally, and by your pure devotees, can certainly conquer your lordship, although otherwise you are unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Then later in his prayers, Lord Brahma said to Krishna, Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada le shanu grahita eva hi janati tatvang bhagavan mahimno nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvan. Therefore, having understood you to some extent, I can understand, my dear Lord, that your two lotus feet will be understood to some extent by those who get even a tiny little bit of your mercy. Otherwise, the very nature of your qualities, your glories, cannot be understood, even by trying to understand, for a very long time. In Bhagavatam 5th canto, we find in the northern part of Jambadweep, in Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all the residents of that area pray to Bhagavan Varahadev, who accepts all the sacrificial offerings. They pray to him by chanting the following mantra. Yasya swarupam kavayo vipaschito guneshu daresh viva jata vedasam matnanti matna manasa didrikshavo gurhang kriyartair nama iritatmane. Again, we have gurha here means very deep, difficult to understand. So the translation that Srila Prabhupada gives, by manipulating a fire-generating stick, great saints and sages can bring forth the fire lying dormant within wood. There's a process for bringing out the fire in the wood. In the same way, O Lord, those expert in understanding the absolute truth try to see you in everything, even in their own bodies, yet you remain concealed. You are not to be understood by indirect processes involving mental or physical activities. In other words, by the process of yoga or gyan, you can try to understand him, but Mother Earth says you won't. Because you, Krishna, they continue, are self-manifested only when you see that a person is wholeheartedly engaged in searching for you, do you reveal yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So possible to understand it by bhakti, but not fully possible. And that makes everything always fresh and exciting. Even Radha can't fully understand him. Even he can't fully understand himself. Is that a fact? He can't understand himself? Well, Arjuna says he can. Svayam evatman atmanam veta tvang purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpate. Arjuna told Krishna, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency, O Supreme Person origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe, such a great personality. Only you can know yourself, Arjuna says to Krishna. But Krishna doesn't fully know himself. And as we find in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the very reason why he comes as Lord Chaitanya is because he doesn't fully understand himself, and he wants to do so. He wants to understand himself in the way that, or to experience himself in the way that Radha does. We have in the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Radha Yaf Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vana Yaiva Svadyo Yenad Bhutta Madhuri Ma Kidrisho Vama Diyaha Sokhyang Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrishang Veti Lobhat Tad Bhavardhya Samajanisha Chi Garba Sindho Harinduhu. Krishna wanted to understand the glory of Radha's love. He wanted to understand the wonderful qualities in himself that she can relish through her love. And Krishna wanted to understand the happiness that she feels by realizing the sweetness of his love. And therefore, Hari, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, being richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Shachi Devi, as the moon appears from the ocean. Gahana, he cannot be comprehended by any of the known instruments of knowledge. We have sense of seeing, touching, tasting, smelling, feeling. We have the mind for deliberation, but none of these can reach to him. He is not an object of perception in the same way that everything else is. We see everything else as objects of our perception, but that is our way of seeing in the world, the seer and the seen. He is the one who sees us. We can only see him if he gives us the ability to see him. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a different understanding of this name. He says, Baladev says, that he agitates the thoughts, gahate. Gahana means gahate, he who agitates the thoughts of even of those of sharp intellect. So this brings to mind immediately the warning that we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. Balavan indriya gramo vidvang samapi karshati. That the senses are so strong that even a very learned person can become disturbed by the senses. So that is through the power of his maya, his deluding, illusory energy. Krishna agitates the thoughts even of persons of very sharp intellect. Another way this can be understood, that he agitates the thoughts even of those of sharp intellect. Sharp intellect means, or one aspect of that can be, those who are very deep on the path of spiritual understanding, going toward impersonal realization. In this regard, we can quote a very beautiful verse by Bilva Mangal Thakur, in which he states, Advaita viti patikaya rupasya swananda singhasana labda dikshaha shathena kenapi vayang hathena dasi krita gopa vadhu vitena. I was worshipped by those on the path of monism. In other words, he himself was very advanced on the path of monism. And I was initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, but still I have been forcibly turned into a maid servant by some cunning boy who is always joking with the gopis. Shantakaram Pujagashayanam Padmanabham Suresham Vishwadharam Gaganasadrisham Megavarnam Shubhangam Lakshmi Kantam Kamalanayanam Yoghibhidyanagamyam Vande Vishnum Bhavabhayaharam Sarvalokaikanatham. Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.